Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Well, hands in the air if you told a cock joke in front of 400 people on Friday.
Oh my God. Well, I think if anyone wants to place any bets on it, I think they're probably going to be winning, because who out of the two of us would tell a cock joke, number one? Whether or not it's in front of 400 people is like another thing.
So basically, I hosted the Beauty Awards, the CW Beauty Awards on Friday, and I hadn't quite realised that the lady that started the CW Awards, the whole kind of corporation, the coal company, is now 80 years old. And so I thought, well, I sort of assessed the room and I saw loads of kind of young people milling around. I thought, this is the crowd to do it. Everyone was excited because they were going to go and see Adele afterwards. So I was like, this is my opportunity to tell my Richard cock joke. Anyway, as I delivered it and said, not only did I call him a dick, but I also called him a cock, the first person I saw was this lovely old 80-year-old lady just staring back at me. And I was like, well, I hope she's got a filthy sense of humour, because if not, I'll never be asked back to sell.
Well, I was going to say, this, you know, cock jokes are not like age, apart from, you know, under 12s or something. They're not age, you know, anyone can enjoy a good cock joke if they want to. I'm sure you'll still be enjoying a cock joke at 80, Zoe.
I bloody will be. I'll be telling them. How are you, George?
I'm good. I'm really good. We actually had a really strange thing happen this weekend.
Oh, here we go.
So on Saturday night, we went out, which was Saturday day and night, we sort of went out, not late, got the kids home about 10:30, went to bed. They didn't wake up till 10 a.m. the next day.
What?
10 a.m. 10 a.m. I mean, I couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't enjoy it because I kept worrying they weren't breathing or they were dead. So I kept going up, like checking. Oh, no, they're actually asleep.
Wow.
This is weird. So now we're like, okay, how do we recreate that Saturday every single Saturday for the rest of our lives?
Can I just ask what the bedroom setup is in the kids' rooms? Like, do you have blinds that stick to the window? Like, is it completely black in there?
Yeah, it is. Although they actually weren't in their rooms, they're in our room. So basically, James has left me at this party and he'd gone to another party, and I said I didn't want to go, basically, because I was having too much fun where we were, but I still had the kids with me. So I've got back on my own, having had like quite a few drinks, and they're like, we want to sleep in your bed. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever, you sleep in there then. So I'd left them in there in our bedroom, which actually doesn't have blackout blinds.
Wow.
Just has like normal curtains. And then I'd gone and slept in Axel's bottom bunk, and I'd messaged James to say, just so you know, the kids are in our bed and I'm in the bottom bunk.
Which means you're on the top.
He ended up on the top bunk. Oh, I woke up to a message like, what the actual fuck?
Wow, the dating household.
I'm like, okay, you two can sleep in our bed every weekend if you want to.
It must be something to do with the comfort of being in their parents' bed, because I know that our two, and they're together. It doesn't happen very often, but actually in the last couple of months, I've been doing that a little bit more. Like if Doz has been away for the night, or, you know, there's been an argument, he's in the attic, I just go and get them. I love sleeping with them. And I feel like I didn't do it at the beginning because we had a rule that we weren't going to be co-sleeping. And there's something about, I don't know whether it's Kit starting school, or it just seemed to be so big and grown up. I just want to have them with me all the time.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah. It's really lovely. And I think you're right. I think they do actually sleep longer if there's someone there with them. Yeah. Because, I mean, Axel would never, ever even sleep past 7:30. Mm. Like, even that, we're like, oh my God, it's incredible. Yeah. Even past 6:30, especially in the summer, like, just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, the fact they had each other, and maybe that, yeah, they were in our bed. It was insane. I couldn't believe it.
Love so that.
We felt like we had a really short day yesterday.
Basically, if Georgia can reincarnate that, or like, yeah,
and kind sell of, it,
and sell it, then we'll all be wealthy. Well, me and George, anyway, because
we will. Too. I mean, the only thing I can think is there's a lot of bouncy castle action on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you want to get your kids to sleep a lot,
hire a bouncy castle. I know that when I go on a bouncy castle, I'm knackered at the end of the day. Well, we had a nice weekend because it was my mum's birthday. And she hates celebrating her birthday. She's a bit like the Queen. It's like no one really knows how old she is. But because she was with us and she's over from Kenya, we had Isla as well for the day on Saturday and the night. We just decided to do a lovely barbecue. We had a few friends around. Obviously, the weather was glorious and it was just lovely. She's been on great form. This is what I miss about having a parent that lives in another country, because it's those lovely impromptu days where you're like, well, let's just shove some sausages on the barbecue and let's have a great time. Really, yeah, really special.
Sit outside and relax.
I got so drunk on Saturday night. I got slurry drunk. Like, I felt sort of 16 all night out drinking the huge.
I had hiccups. And I was also with people that I don't know that well. And I was the last person there as well. So it wasn't anyone else who could like take away from how drunk I was, because it was just me and that couple.
You know what they're saying about you this morning? They're like, who's that slurry girl that we didn't really know very well? We kept
asking her if she booked a taxi.
That's amazing. Surely she'll go now.
There's a taxi outside. Oh, no, that's not my one. I haven't ordered one yet.
I love you, George.
Don't get any of the hints. Anyway.
Listen, we need to get into today's chat, because it was actually a really nice long one, which we always love. The conversation just flowed really freely and it went off on lots of lovely kind of twists and turns. But the majority of the chat was around body image and body confidence and the actual conversation around having scales and weighing yourself and how you feel when you're pregnant. It was a lot about that subject. And we always try and find guests that have really been beating that drum and been really honest in that area. And I feel like today's guest just nailed it. What a beautiful conversation. You loved it, didn't you?
Oh, I really loved it, because it's definitely something that I sort of thought I had down, like, oh yeah, I don't care like how I look particularly. I don't worry about my weight. But actually I realized I probably do. And there is so much that I haven't unpicked when it comes to like body image and weight and all of that kind of stuff. So I've probably been talking about it more in the last year or so than I ever have done before. Yeah. But it's been so good. And I really feel like the guest that's on this episode just nailed exactly.
We had
how
a eureka
exactly
moment, didn't we?
Exactly want to say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I really think you guys are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, and me. George, who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to Clemmie Telford.
So as always, we are very, very, very excited about today's conversation. But the fact that this particular lady wanted me to introduce her as a badass bitch, I think this one is going to be... She didn't actually say that.
You shot
her. She didn't actually say that. No, I've done
you
that.
You planted the seed.
I think it's going to be an amazing conversation. I'll just clarify, she didn't say that. That's what I wanted to call her. So today we're welcoming a podcaster, broadcaster, author, mother, all-round hero. It's Clemmie Telford.
If anyone knows me, you know I never... introduce myself as a badass bitch. I'm like a Pisces. I'm the most kind of, I'd rather say I was nothing and people realize that I'm something than say I was something and disappoint.
Oh, I didn't know that about Pisces.
No?
I was going to say, I didn't know that, but my mum's a Pisces and that makes a lot of sense.
What are you, George? Yeah.
I'm Gemini.
Oh.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Two-sided.
Two-faced.
It's definitely a common like broadcaster journalist kind of star sign.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Is that a good thing? You're both like,
That's very true to George's character, actually, because she can be, you know, we can be discussing, I don't know, someone that looks fit on the front cover of a magazine. And then she'll be like, the thing is, right, is that you need to deliver this and you need to do it on this date. And if you don't do it by that, I'm like, whoa. I thought we were talking about Orlando Bloom's abs. Like, there's a real shift in energy there.
What are you, Zoe?
Scorpio, obviously.
I love, we've never spoken about star signs before and I really don't know much about them. So
it's like a thing of mine.
And me.
Is it? Mm. Oh, well, there we go. How are you, Clemmie?
I'm okay. I was just saying off mic to you, George. I'm at that point which we're about to move. We're relocating from London to the Kent coast. We're kind of, we're doing this massive renovation. We're moving all the kids' schools. There's just almost so much going on that I'm kind of debilitated to do anything at the moment because yeah. I can't focus on anything. But, and my mum texted me last night and said, are you all right? I was like, well, I guess so. You almost get to the point where you can't worry because I can't fixate on anything for very long. I've just got to keep going.
Yeah. Why the move, Clemmie? What
made you do it? We've got three kids, and once you've done a couple of lockdowns with next to no garden, it teaches you what you need. Yeah, we need more space.
Where are you off to?
Cape Coast. Actually don't know if I've actually put this on the internet, but you can have this because it's going to become obvious. We're moving to Broadstairs.
Oh yes,
that would be so fun. So how are you feeling about moving, like the kids' schools and all that kind of stuff? Because I think we think of it as such a big deal to move them schools, and then you hear people say, oh no, they adapt so easily, but I guess different characters will adapt in different ways.
So I've definitely been in the they'll adapt so easily, and then we've just moved into the stage because they're like 3 weeks out from the end of term now where my eldest is really, really struggling with it. And the problem is what he's talking through is all the feelings that I've got too, like I don't want to leave our life. And although they're lucky because we've had the house in Broadstairs for a while because we've been doing the renovation, so they know where they're going. And at no point have they said, oh, we don't want to go there. They just don't want to leave the bit that we're doing. But life is about changes, isn't it? And I know, hand on heart, every time I see them on the beach, they're about to have a really, really wonderful childhood. But it's really hard to commit to that.
I sometimes think that the change is more about how we feel about it. And I'm not devaluing any of their stuff because obviously kids, you know, they're just tiny versions of ourselves. So of course they're going to feel stuff. But actually, I think if we embrace it and get on board with it more and kind of love that change and let it kind of wash over us a bit more, I think they do as well. And they're quicker to adapt, right?
I think it's just that thing where you're very, one of the first times in their lives where I'm very aware that our decision is having consequences for them on quite a big scale. And I don't, I'm not questioning that decision, but when he's saying, I'm really sad, there's nothing much, I don't want to also devalue it and go, oh, you'll be fine. It is really sad. Things are changing, and it's like that slow move towards something that is hard, but I know it's going to be great.
How's your relationship been with London? Like, how do you view London? How are you going to be not being in with her every day?
I mean, I love her. Of course I do. It's an energy like no other. And, you know, there's even however many years in I've lived here, I can't even think, 15, 17 years, I'm always astounded by central London. I find it amazing. But we're not, the bit that makes me really happy is being quite outdoorsy. And in order to get that from London, you've got to put quite a lot of effort in. And again, my kids are a bit, they're quite wimpy about about insects and grass and animals, all the stuff that I was a bit more brought up with. And I want them to have all of that. And I hope that when we leave, we will come back and enjoy London for what it is. Whereas I think when you live there, you can often just live in a village within London rather than appreciating it that much.
What was your childhood like? So you mentioned that you want them to have what you had. Did you lead a bit more of an outdoorsy life?
So I grew up in Buckinghamshire. So I guess we had the kind of in between the two. I grew up in a small village, you know, then there's farms, and then you could always get the train into London and go to Oxford Street and go to Topshop and actually go to Camden. So yeah, I was appreciative of the fact that we had a bit of both. But the reason we've chosen the Kent coast or chosen the coast is to give them a dramatically different life. You know, we were looking at places a bit closer to London, and then we felt like we weren't getting anything significantly different. Whereas, a beach is something totally different.
And it is so different. And we felt the same thing, that actually we wanted them to have access to London, because the Kent coast, you can get on the train and be in London in an hour. But at the same time, you're not living in the suburbs where you're sort of dipping your feet in, but not quite. And then you haven't got quite enough space. They're going to have a completely different upbringing. It's going to be magical. But also, you can still go into London. Your relationship with London can change slightly. Like, I get so excited when I go in there now. I'm like, step off the... Step off the train at Waterloo, and I'm like doing my best strutting through Waterloo. I mean, people think I'm a total wanker, but I really love it.
But do you remember when you used to come up to London, if you came up as a teen or in your 20s? I used to like plan my outfit.
Oh, yeah.
for, and I hope I get all that feeling again of like, of, yeah, because it is amazing, but it's strange because of the last couple of years, London hasn't been itself anyway. And actually, yeah, it's definitely kicked back off again.
I'll get the best of both.
Exactly. You've just done the front cover of Stylist magazine, and that's pretty major. Let's talk
it's
about
amazing.
That. It's amazing. How did that come about? And yeah, how what's the response been to the cover shoot?
And also, that kind of segue, I was wearing no clothes in that. Actually,
well,
I was.
Yeah. That's where I was going. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
that is one of those jobs that came in literally very shortly before it happened. And I was going to France that day on holiday. And it's one of those, this is about to make an already quite stressful long journey to France 100 times more stressful. But I believe so much in what they were trying to do. And speaking to Alex, the editor of Stylist, she said she's for a long time wanted to have a conversation about weight and scales and couldn't find a way of doing it that aptly reflected the fact that it impacts all of us. And yeah, for those who haven't seen the cover, it's, I don't know how many women it is, but it's 30, maybe more, maybe 100 women they've interviewed, all of our naked backs. And what it showed me is that all these women, all different shapes and sizes, but all, unfortunately, got this dialogue in their head about body image. And yeah, and the thing that always shocks me is these are smart, intelligent, worldly women who are still having this conversation with themselves.
Yeah. What was your relationship with your body like growing up?
I mean, I was going to say it's like everyone's, but I don't know that's true. It is very common in that I was basically on a diet from the point at which I could have any control over what I ate and was conscious about what I looked, which thankfully I think really wasn't until the end of my teens, maybe. You know, I think it's happening much sooner.
Yeah.
But I was just on a diet, and not in a way that I thought was strange. Of course you lose weight to go on holiday. Of course you lose weight to wear that dress to a big event. And of course you're always aspiring to a dress, a jean size smaller. It just wasn't strange. That's what everybody was doing. I did every single trend that was going, you know, cabbage soup, Atkins, I mean, all of it. That 5'2", I can't even remember some of them, 5'2" or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all these ironies. You look back and at all those times when I desperately wanted to be smaller, I was already very small. And I looked fantastic, but at no point did I enjoy the body that I was in. And as part of that as well, with exercise, I've exercised for as long as I can remember, but at that point with the sole aim of trying to get smaller as punishment.
Yeah,
basically
as a punishment.
Well, where do you think that's come from, or where do you think it historically did come from? Do you think it was dialogue that was being spoken to you at home? Do you think it was the pressure of, you know, the way you saw women in the media, on telly? What was it? Print?
I think it's all of that. I've had conversations with my mum recently where she's like, I wasn't ever on a diet, but I think everybody was on diets. As I say, it was very, very normal. And you do look back at those magazines where you're saying these women's weight and pointing out their cellulite. And actually all those numbers are absolutely imagined, aren't they? Because as we all know, if you have ever weighed yourself, you change weight every blooming day.
Yeah.
But they were already very, very small women that we were aspiring to. And now what I know is that if I restricted, I would still never be down to X size, because that's not the way my body's built. But I put a lot of energy into trying to be that.
Yeah. Do you know, so we had a conversation, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago. And one of the girls that was there was saying that when she went to school, her mum would put a Slim Fast in their lunchbox. And they didn't, you know, they didn't see anything wrong with that. You know, the mum didn't see anything wrong with that. Again, intelligent woman, but just, you know, a byproduct of the how she'd been brought up and the dialogue that'd been fed to her. And I look back and I was sort of thinking about that, and I was like, do you know what? I remember I was never big. I went to stage school, so I used to dance every day. You know, we were all very active and very fit. And then I remember stopping and going off to do my A-levels or whatever, and I must have put on like a little bit of weight. And I went to a Weight Watchers like thing, because I remember and I remember telling my mum that I was doing it, and she was like, oh yeah, you know, because Weight Watchers was like a sensible thing to do, wasn't it? It wasn't drastic. It was like, okay, you know, that's going to teach you to eat healthily or whatever. But actually, you could have McDonald's and not like avocado or whatever, because it had less calories. It was ridiculous. But I remember going in, a friend came with me, and they actually let me join. And now I look back, I'm like, oh my God, they let me join. I think I must have been, I think I was 8.5 stone. Maybe not even that. Maybe 8 stone.
Jesus.
Tiny.
I know. Tiny. And then I went back the next week and I'd lost like 5 or 6 pounds in a week. And everyone applauded. Everyone applauded me. And I don't think I went back after George. That because I think that's all I wanted to do. But yeah. I was thinking, after we had that conversation, I was thinking about the things that just felt completely normal. Mm. That actually, I hadn't even thought about that since then because it was a nothing. It was just if you want to lose weight, you go to Weight Watchers or Slimming World or whatever, and you can be 16 or 17 and actually and a really fine. Healthy weight. Yeah. Yeah. And it's fine. And then you get applauded for losing 6 pounds in a week. I mean, it's
madness, isn't it?
Scary. Mm. So scary.
Have you ever had to have any of those conversations with, you know, either one or both your parents about the language that you grew up around?
I've actually called them up on it recently because they're just doing that classic thing. Oh, you know, the big girl from the village. And I'm just like, no, this is not okay. And also talking about their own bodies, actually. And that's, you know, that's, I think, where I picked it all up from. The other women in my family are all slim, smaller than me. And I definitely knew that I felt as if that was the more desirable way to be. And now as I get older, I know that I'm just naturally more on the athletic side of things. But yeah, I don't think anyone even knows that they're doing it using this damaging language. I think it's just so normalised.
Mm. Right. And it's really interesting when you highlight it to them. I mean, I've gone through it with my mum and actually I don't blame her for it because it's what she grew up around. But, you know, I do think that part of my eating disorder has to have come from her language. Mm-hmm. You know, this whole like, she used to say to me, oh, we've had a big lunch. We don't even need to eat dinner. You know, this whole like, and that just introduced me to skipping meals. It was like, well, if she's doing that. And I remember her being so upset and so angry. Every time she gained a bit of weight, there'd be this massive, like, oh, get into my clothes and throwing them around. I feel so ugly and all this kind of stuff. And I remember at the time not thinking anything of it, just kind of like, well, this is the norm. But on reflection, looking back on it, and she just put so much value on being slim. Mm. And being looking a certain way. And there was, you know, like you said, even now the language, like if she sees somebody, oh, that outfit's doing nothing for her. And I think, oh, fuck. I said to her, we were having ice cream the other day and I said, shut up.
It's not all right.
And she now checks herself and goes, oh, it's weird because she's not an asshole, but she still can't quite get there. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that is? What is that, a generational thing? Do you think it's so ingrained in them?
I think so. I think it's just the absolute norm of judging people by their appearance. But I also think it's a tragedy, isn't it? Like the idea of being hungry for the whole of your life.
No.
I know, and restricting yourself. I know, exactly.
And yeah, the skipping meals or we're going out for a big dinner tonight, so I'm not going to have lunch. No, because what will happen, you'll arrive at the dinner, you're so hungry, you shove the bread in your face, you then ruin the whole experience. And I know myself, in the times when I have been restricting, it does make you miserable because your body's not functioning right, of course, because you're hungry. So
how did you feel when you were pregnant with your kids? Obviously at that point, you know, the body changes so drastically. What was that period like for you? You've had 3 children.
Yeah, I mean, again, I look back on that into quite disordered behavior, weighing myself all the way through my pregnancies, weighing myself quite quickly after giving birth. And I used to always joke, you know, it's the single biggest weight loss you'll ever have. You suddenly,
yes, straight after that.
Yeah, and just being absolutely fixated. And I actually wonder with my first child with Bertie, I was trying to get back into my jeans after that. My milk supply wasn't that good. He therefore wasn't sleeping or feeding that well. And I do wonder that is because I was absolutely terrified of sitting there and eating the biscuits and eating the cake and doing all of that, which I now know is, you know, your body will come back to you. But the idea that breastfeeding sorts it out, the idea that it happens quickly, is a joke. I honestly think really to feel like my body was mine again took a couple of years after my kids. And I think what a tragedy. You need all those calories at that point because you're absolutely exhausted and you're trying to keep 2 humans alive. But yeah, it is disordered.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because that's, you know, when you've had a child, especially your first one, it's such a weird time. And then we hear this stuff about breastfeeding, it will, the weight will fall off you. And that's just an extra pressure. I remember it with Axel. I remember thinking, no, I'm going to keep up the breastfeeding because the weight is going to fall off me. Even though my nipples were bleeding, I was crying every day because it was so painful. And then I remember my mum just going to me like, what are you doing? And if you're worried about weight loss, there are a million other ways that, you know, if you want to lose weight, don't do this. Like, what are you doing?
Actually, for me, my body held on to that baby weight until I gave up breastfeeding every single time. And I understand why it was doing it, because it's trying to keep itself in that post-baby bit. And then, as I say, gave up breastfeeding, able to move a bit more. It does all come back, but what a waste of those precious, precious months when you've got so much else on your plate and your baby is tiny and it's only tiny once. You should be worrying about that.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
We hear so many people, they send us messages constantly on Made by Mamas about, you know, can't shift the baby weight, don't feel like myself. There's a lot of how people look. And I'm wondering, you know, if you've got kind of any insight, because it feels like you've done a real journey with how you used to feel and how you potentially feel now for those people listening, because it's a huge thing to even start unraveling, I know.
It is. And actually, to be really honest with you, every time I feel like I've unraveled it, then I come up to another hurdle and I realize I haven't unraveled it. And, you know, it's definitely an ongoing journey and definitely something that I have to keep working on. But the big shift for me, so I've got two boys and then a girl, and I have very chunky babies, not at birth, but once I start like weaning, I found one of Greta where I think she had 5 rolls up each arm. Fantastic.
Love it.
But when with the boys and people used to comment on how chunky they were, I didn't think anything of it. And then they started doing it about Greta and I could feel myself recoiling. Now, number one, I don't think you should be commenting on bodies anyway. I was like, why are you having this reaction? And it was at that point where I was like, I have got to go and solve my own stuff because I cannot allow this to be continued into my children. And that was a big shift for me. And then I got rid of the scales, stopped weighing myself, which was amazing, and really went into intuitive eating. Again, amazing. Got rid of a lot of my hang-ups with food. But funnily, in the last kind of 6 months to a year, there's been a bit of a plot twist on that, because I realized I thought I was eating intuitively, but I wasn't feeling very good in my skin. My body didn't feel like it was functioning at the best way as it right. could. And I'm really into fitness, train, you know, 5-6 times a week. I couldn't quite reconcile what was going on. And I realized that actually my intuitive eating was still quite tied up with emotional eating. And that's quite a thing you have to be honest with yourself about. And then I was so keen to move away from diet culture that I didn't want to make any changes to my eating habits.
Right.
But actually, I think we're then feeding ourselves another lie. I don't believe you can just eat the brownie all the time.
No.
I mean, you can, but you won't feel good. Your body won't be functioning well. I do need to eat more vegetables. I do need to watch the caffeine that I eat. I don't feel great if I eat all the refined carbohydrates going. And I think I got quite confused with body positivity, that if you love your body, you just do whatever you want to it. And I really think that's not doing us a favor either, because exercise and good eating are habits that you have to work at, but they're important.
Do you know what?
Oh, it's so nice to hear that. I feel like you've summed it up, George. Yeah. Haven't you just summed it up? Everything that we've been trying to say for the last 3 years on here.
This is what we're trying to say. Like, I was just about to say to you, like, I don't feel like I'm there yet. As in, I definitely still care about what my body looks like. You know, I lost quite a bit of weight recently, and I definitely feel so much happier now.
Well, you did it really healthily, George.
I did, I did. Like, obviously, nothing crazy, but I definitely still, you know, I was definitely still weighing myself, and it doesn't affect my mood. Like, if I put on weight, it won't affect my mood, but I definitely feel better. But then what I have realised is I feel better because I'm just fueling my body in the way that it should be fueled.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm just going to the gym consistently. I'm not going crazy. I'm going 3 or 4 times a week, maybe doing a run. And I'm just kind of treating it how it should be treated.
With respect. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
That's all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I have had that sort of internal battle with myself, like, oh gosh, like, am I going to go too far with this? Like, I'm sort of loving the weight coming off and the way that my body's changing. But actually, I'm thinking, no, do you know what? I'm actually just loving the way it's making me feel. I'm loving that I've got more energy, and I'm loving that I actually enjoy going to the gym, and I'm loving that I'm eating so much better. Like, I used to actually skip lunch. Now I don't. Like, no. I think, I'll have something proper. So, yeah, and I think there's a lot that there is. It's a really hard place at the moment, especially with Instagram, to say you want to eat well and you want to go to the gym because that's seen as being part of diet culture. But actually, it's really not, if it's done in the right way.
No, I agree. So I am working with a nutritionist at the moment. So I'm really into powerlifting, and I'm in this strange thing where I really, really want to get stronger. And often the way to get stronger is just to get bigger.
Bigger,
And I'm trying to get bigger. I'm trying to get stronger, but also remain leaner, or as lean as I can. And so I'm working with him, and it's been a really fascinating journey because obviously I'm back on meal plans, I'm back weighing, but for the first time ever, I'm just seeing it as science. I need to put this amount of energy, good energy, into my body because I'm going to expel this amount of energy. The amount I weigh is reflective of trying to make my body perform at the best it can be. And I kind of feel like I might be accessing a bit of how men often look at their bodies.
Wow, that's incredible.
And it's like, I said in the stylist interview, when I first stood on the scales again after 3 years, I now weigh what once would have been an unthinkable number. But now I know that weight is tied up to muscle and performance, and it is a real journey to go on. But exactly like you, George, when I started working with this nutritionist and looking at macros and looking at my weight, I was like, am I like defying the girl code? Am I going against everything that we should be doing? And that's really dangerous, because if you can do so in a healthy way, the best we can do for ourselves and our kids is to make our bodies work in the best way possible.
But this is the thing, right, Clemmie? Because this is the issue. Like, my husband, ex-rugby player, if he wants to lose a bit of weight, you know, he's working with this guy, well, was historically Jay Cabot, and he was, you know, weighing his food and looking at macros and training and weightlifting, all this sort of stuff. Nobody batters an eyelid. People are like, oh, look at him. He's gone from this to this. And no one gives a shit. No one says anything. In fact, it's applauded and it's amazing. If a woman does that, you know, firstly, you feel shame even showing your before and after shots, because you don't want to alienate anyone else or upset anybody else, or you don't want anybody else to comment, because people will comment straight away on it. Oh, you're looking too thin, or have you done it in the right way? And it's even just that in itself is so skewed. I find that really, really, really hard to swallow. Like, as women, men are never dissected in the same way that women are.
No.
Never.
It's so true. And also, I realized from working with the nutritionist how confused I was about what I should and shouldn't be eating. You know, the portions he's now giving me are, I'm on 5 meals a day. I just wouldn't have been able to put that in my body before without absolutely losing my head, because I've just got all these ideas of what is right and what is wrong. And exactly what I was saying, like the right amount of protein, not missing meals, and the accumulative effect of that on how I feel. And actually, like, my PMT is better, I'm sleeping better, my patience is better. But we have been fed so many lies for so long that it's really got to the point where I didn't know how to yeah, I didn't know what on earth I was doing.
No, agreed. What sort of conversations are you having with the kids about it? Because if you are, you know, measuring out your food and, you know, the portion sizes and stuff like that, what are you saying to them and how do they react to it?
So the dialogue is that I'm just trying to get stronger, which is true, and be healthy. And I'm talking to them more about like protein and different energy supplies. Yep. And my eldest is really into baking. So I'm trying to talk to him in the same way that you have to get the ingredients right in order for a cake to rise, is trying to get the balance right in what I'm eating. And I think I've talked about this on Instagram recently. It's never about what I'm taking away. It's about what I'm adding in more protein, adding in more vegetables, adding in more water. Wow. He's trying to get me to drink 3 liters of water a day. And I just, I'm so far off that though. And again, I think to myself that I'm good at hydration. And once you begin to actually check in with it, I'm really not.
I know. I'll have like 6 cups of tea a day. Easy.
You know that like some people's nans don't have that many cups of tea every day, George.
Well, then they're not a real nan, are they?
You should just swap out a few of those for decaf and you'd be in a much better place.
I mean, the joke is I drink decaf coffee.
As well?
But I just... Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there's no judgment here, but we are judging you from over here.
Yeah, I've judged you really, really hard. I'm not a professional nutritionist, but that feels like a terrible idea.
It is a terrible idea. And I'm cutting down. It probably was about 8. So I'm down to 6.
Do you know what?
Now,
I got properly judged the other day because if I do drink coffee, I have to have, I have to have one heaped brown sugar in it. Or in the sachets, it's 3, right? Because 3 sachets, that's not 3 spoons, that's 1 heaped, right? But people look at it and you go, yeah, I've done it. Like, seriously, I've done it about 15 times at work. So we go to the cafeteria and I was like, yeah, 3 sachets, please. And the woman who was working there went, 3 sachets. And I was like, excuse me. I was like, you're selling ice buns to the people in front of me and you didn't batter a fucking eyelid. 3 sachets and you're about to call the sugar police. I only have one cup a day though, guys. One cup.
Okay. So we're not giving you the validation you want.
It's all fine. If I get my tea, you get your sugar.
Yeah, fine. All right. What's your advice, Clemmie?
Oh, and you know what? I'm really bloody straight edge these days. I don't even drink. I'm really straight edge.
No. Nothing.
No,
I was trying to think what my advice is. I have actually got back into Diet Coke recently, which I don't think is a great habit.
That's really bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm rebelling.
What
you were going to say, like porn or something? I've heavily got back into porn recently, guys. Oh shit! It's not that.
No, it's not.
Listen, before we say goodbye, we would love to ask you the best piece of advice that you've ever been given by a parent, or the piece of advice that you want to give a new mum or dad.
It's something that I've just checked myself in, like realised myself. So my kids are 9, 7 and 4. And over the last 9 years of parenting, I have become, it's become a habit that I will be the person that looks after the bags if we go anywhere, or I will be the person who brings a towel, or I will always be the person watching. And I've been doing this as a habit because I think it starts when you have the baby and you've got the pram or you're breastfeeding. And then I suddenly realized that I'm basically forever watching my husband do the fun things with the kids. And I'm the kind of supporting act. And then we were just come back from France and there's this inflatable obstacle course on the water, which I didn't really fancy, but my kids wanted me to do it. And I was suddenly like, oh, Clemmie, you can go and do that. Go and do it with them. And they were like, this is the best day of our lives, mummy.
Oh.
And I was just like, you can be involved with the fun rather than observing and providing the fun. And it's been a real shift in my parenting. It's like, I actually now go and kick the football with them rather than holding the stuff while they kick the football. And it's been really gorgeous.
I love that.
So
and also, don't just think you can only have that sort of fun in France, because near me, they've got Liquid Leisure and they've got that obstacle course on the water.
Have you done it?
No, it's too fucking cold. Like, I'm only going to do it in France. But I just need to get a what are they called? A waterproof
wetsuit.
A wetsuit, that's it, yeah. And then I'm keen to join you next time you go.
And you know what? It's really, and then it's just a different chapter of parenting where you're doing stuff with them. And it's just such a habit. And so, yeah, I want to be in the core memories.
But what about if you don't want to get on the
No, you have to, George.
Then I'll hold the bags and I'll watch that time. Maybe something else.
I'll go and have the fun.
No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
And it's easy to become a bit more boring and a bit more boring and a bit more boring. And in fact, George and I just both been to a thing where everyone was getting in the hot tub and we were like, oh, we'll just have a cup of tea. Yeah. And then eventually we got in the hot tub. It's like, oh, you've got to try and get in the hot tub even if you don't fancy it, because
you just got to do it. Exactly.
Life is short.
The hot tub one's quite an interesting chat because it's always a bit cold and I'm always the one and a bit wet. And then
it's
when you get out,
first,
you're like,
yeah,
oh, this is going to be... And then I never get in the hot tub because I'm like, oh, I don't really fancy getting cold and wet. But you're right, you've got to get in the hot tub, guys.
You have.
You've got to get in the hot tub. You've got to dive straight in.
Okay.
Not because that's the stuff, isn't it, really?
And also, we love to find out about our guests' favourite products. So are there any like things that you're loving at the moment, things you love for the kids, just like your absolute must-haves?
Yeah, so again, inspired by France, I've now had three kids, two of which can swim, one that can almost swim, and they've all learnt with the help of those shark fin things, have you seen? Yeah. And they're absolutely brilliant because rather than armbands, which kind of restrict their movement, by having this float on their back, they can move properly, and it doesn't, like, not a buoyancy aid, it just keeps them more afloat, so they have to learn how to keep themselves afloat, and that is absolutely been a game changer. So that's my number one.
I'm going to get that for Kits. He's four too, the shark fin.
And they also look really cool. They're these
actual fin.
They're really, really good, and I think they really changed the way that they learn to swim rather than teaching them one thing and then removing it. Packing cubes are my absolute... Have you got packing cubes?
No. I haven't. I need to get packing cubes because I'm like shoving the best.
So they're kind of as they sound. They're individual compartments. Now, I've got lovely Tibra and Mar ones, but also for the family, each family member has got a different colour set of packing cubes. And the thing is, what you do is you can then take it, you pack the packing cube in their bedroom, put it in the suitcase, and then from the suitcase, you can put it straight in the wardrobe. Now, if you're not staying for very long, you don't actually ever do anything other than just put the packing cube in the wardrobe. But it means that everything... is already into different compartments for each person.
Oh, yes. I love this.
Yeah, that's a good packing idea. And then I guess when you get home as well, you can put your dirty and your whatever.
Exactly. Dirty in one and the other. And you can compress more in because each bit is kind of squished.
Oh, this is great. I feel like I've learned something. I'll tell you who's going to love that. Organised by Kat and the girls from Organised.
They've probably told us about those, haven't they?
I really recommend it. And especially we do a lot of camping and like festival type things. So it's kind of good if you're not in anywhere permanent, but you can kind of keep everyone's stuff.
Great. So love that.
Packing cubes.
Okay.
What else have I got? Bundle beds. Any of you got bundle beds?
No.
God, these they're quite expensive, but they are roll-up beds with actual duvet, an actual pillow and a self-inflating mattress. And again, we do a lot of camping and festivals, so each child has one. And then actually when we ever go and stay at people's houses, they have the same one. And because they always have their same bed, it means that wherever you go, you've kind of got a consistent thing where they can stay. And it's absolutely
bundle
brilliant.
Beds.
That is brilliant. I'm going to look those up.
Yeah, they're an investment, but they're, you know, you can take the sheet rather than often camping stuff can be a bit nylon. They are like cotton and actual pillows. And so they actually do sleep.
Brilliant. Okay. Tammy, will you come on the podcast every week and just give us three of your favourite new products? Because this is amazing.
Loads.
I wrote down like Sleepyhead and all of those, but actually I was like, if we still need help parenting once our kids get a bit older.
Yeah, exactly. More so, in fact.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and everyone stops sharing their tips so much.
Yes, no, not on this podcast. Tammy, thank you so, so much for coming on. What a brilliant conversation.
Oh, I've already got the fear about it, so it shows it was a good one.
Don't have the fear. We can't wait to see what your life is like on the Kent coast. I can't wait to come on that journey with you. It's really exciting.
Thanks, Clemmie.
Thanks so much, guys.
Wishing you all the luck for the rest of your days. Don't drink too much coffee, Georgia.
Clemmy Telford for Prime Minister.
Yes, I feel like Zoe and I have been going around in circles trying to explain how we feel about body image and like where the balance is. And she just comes on and she's like, well, yeah, this is it. You got to fuel your body, right? Otherwise, you're not going to feel that good. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you've got issues or whatever. It's just, that's just the way your body works. Yeah. You put fuel in it and you'll feel good. I was like,
yes. I loved how she also talked about her body and performance, which is where that's the drum that I've always been, you know, trying to beat, is that when I do eat the right things and I do nourish myself properly, I can really perform well in my training and sport and things. It's been such a big part of my life. But again, there is such a fine line between, you know, being, you know, I'm a size eight. I have been a size eight for a really long time, but some people look at me and they're like, oh, you know, you're too slim and you're too this and you're too that. I'm like, this is the way that my body naturally is, you know, fit and lean and quite supposed to be. But I know that if I don't put the right fuel in it, I feel rubbish. You know, if I eat a pizza before bed, the next day when I wake up, I'm just absolutely shattered.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because for me it's not really about performance. Like, I train to feel good and like have energy, so that's where I notice the difference. Whereas if I'm training consistently and I'm eating 80%, you know, well, and then I still have my little treats and stuff, I feel like myself. That's all it is. And I've got energy and I'm not so snappy and I'm not lethargic, and that's why I do it. Just to feel normal.
And mentally as well, the mental health side of it. I know we talk about this a lot, but even if we don't get out and go for a walk or you know, kind of meet a mate and just to kind of hit the park for a bit, it does make us feel really crappy. So our DMs are always open to have this conversation, and we would love to get your feedback as always. But we want to say thank you to Clemmy, because I know that she was maybe a little bit worried about certain things that she was saying, but I actually really respected her for speaking the truth.
I loved it. Loved that chat. Brilliant. And if you've got any suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, like this one, anything that's coming up in your lives, in your friendship groups, then please, like Zoe said, our DMs are always open. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram. Just send us a message and we'll try and find somebody to come on and talk about
it. We will.
It.
And if you do have time to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow, that would be amazing. And we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.